welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you were able to join me today. I'm continuing a message I've entitled God's Tough Love, and we looked at a passage in Scripture found in Psalms 94, verses 12 through 14. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. Verse 13 says that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. Verse 14 says, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. So we're being assured in these verses of Scripture that the Lord loves his people. He will not forsake his people. He won't cast us off. He won't lose patience, because the Word tells us he's very long-suffering, gracious, and full of loving kindness and tender mercies. And he will give us, his people, rest when the days of adversity come, that in a time of famine, the righteous shall be satisfied. He will protect us, though 10,000 should encamp against us. In this will we be confident. He will be our shield and our buckler. But he is also teaching us out of his law. He will chasten us, this verse 12 says, and that means to chastise with blows or figuratively with words, and it means to instruct or to chasten, correct, punish, reform, reprove, teach. And so God's interested in, through the Holy Spirit, transforming us and conforming us to the image of Jesus. And God has a plan, a purpose for every one of our lives, and that may change from season to season. But you can be sure he has a plan for your life, and he's not trying to be elusive, not to try to get you to second guess him. He wants to make his way plain, but there are also times in which we must wait on God, which is a very difficult discipline, because we want to forge ahead and make things happen for ourselves. But God has a place for us in the body of Christ in terms of the functioning spiritually of his body, regardless of what career or place we may be in our lives or in society. We're part of God's body. And many have rebelled or resented against the place or the thing that God has asked of them. And this is very common to man. Look at the great prophet Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh. And what did he do? He ran as fast as he could in the opposite direction. And like Jonah, perhaps some of you have found that's not the best solution. Because as you know from Scripture, and Jesus verified it, Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, and he had 3 days to deliberate in the belly of this fish as to whether or not to obey God. And of course, he did end up obeying God. So God has ways of causing us to see his path, that it's probably the very best for us. And the less we struggle, the easier it will be for us. So many times people will say, oh, I know God's leading me to do this. God's called me to this church. God's called me to this ministry. And many cases, many times when things get difficult, oh, they may not voice anything harmful or hateful against wherever they might be, but by their actions, they refuted everything that they said. Many people will not heed God's directions when he says, this is the place I want you in, whether it's a church or a job position or circumstances in your life. They may not be pleasant, and I can assure you, God says, blessed is the man who goes through the valley. Everything that we pass through. It is not for eternity. It's a temporary thing, although being creatures of time and this earthly realm, we're impatient. We know we're mortal. We have an appointed number of days, so we want to get through the unpleasant stuff. But what does God want? He wants us to be obedient where He's placed us. For whatever reason and purpose, for that season we may be in our lives, to stay put, to stay humble, and to obey not only Him through the Word of God, but those who have the ruler leadership over you, whether that would be the pastor or whether it would be an employer or supervisor. Now, there may come times that God does tell you, I want you to move on for whatever reasons. However, I'm talking about, and I think you can relate, and you've sometimes known in your own life, God wants you to just hang in there, and that's the last thing you wanted to do. So what I'm talking about is God's tough love. God is love. He is a love so perfect and so beautiful that we can hardly comprehend or apprehend it. He is love beyond our wildest imaginings. We really cannot relate to that perfect love that is in the heart of God, that sent Jesus to die for us. We wonder, we're amazed by it, and we can understand only in part. And the scriptures say, isn't that right? We see in part, we understand in part. When that which is perfect comes, that which is in part will be done away with. Everything is just transitory, fragmentary in our lives now. A time will come when we will know Him even as we are known. So, beloved, we have to understand He is a wonderful Father, a wonderful God. God's love is far more than we humans have the capacity to understand. However, there is a danger that some have erred in, and that is to look to God as just a big buddy, if you will. There are professional Christians, if you will, and by professional I mean those who practice Christianity for purposes other than perfect, complete surrender and submission to the Lord. There are other motivations, prestige and renown and affluence and ego and prosperity. There can be many wrong attitudes, and God alone is the one who can judge hearts. Yes, many of these kinds of Christians do love the Lord, but they set about serving God on their terms, not on His. And that's what I want us to look at and to have the Holy Spirit examine our own lives. Some may be very active in their church. They, you know, belong to various committees on the advisory board, the financial board, the building committee, fully involved in church, yet not really giving to God that which He wants most, which is themselves. Sometimes it's easy to give our time, to give lip service, to be outwardly active, to even wear ourselves out with effort and energy. But the deepest, the most innermost parts of us, we preserve as our own right, our own ability to be who we are and not to have to be an account to anyone or anything. Why? That's the carnal nature. And it is only being surrendered. And we do that out of love. God will not force us. But in love, knowing and trusting from the Word of God that God is absolutely kind and good and perfect in His love, that He will allow nothing to happen to us that is not for our good. And so we need to be able to give God our most precious possession, which is ourselves. That's what He wants. And when we read Romans and it says to present ourselves, our bodies unto God as a living sacrifice, if we are able to present our bodies, then the rest of us is willing to come along, beloved, because our soul, our heart, I mean, with our heart we're serving God, but our soul nature wants to, our will, our preferences sometimes resent and react and rebel against the word of the Lord. Jesus Himself, the scriptures tell us, learned obedience by the things that He suffered. So a person might work hard, they might produce rather outstanding results, but if their heart is not controlled by the Lord, beloved, that is less than God desires or even requires. Many today, I believe, and this has been a concern of my heart for many years, and thank God there are wonderful men and women of God who love God with all of their heart, and churches and congregations, people who love the Lord and give themselves to God in service in whatever way He would ask. And yet, there are those who have lost their fear of God. And the way many teach today, what you hear in pulpits, is that, you know, God is, it's basically the church is a social club, and let's not preach about the blood of Jesus or repentance. Let's just talk about God is good and God wants us to be perfected and whatever kinds of things that appeal to the natural man. He's not our babysitter. He's not a steward or a servant to be called upon when we need things. And while He certainly has promised in His Word to help us, whatever our areas of need may be, God is none of those things. He is not your, you know, a great big old pal. He's not your fishing buddy. He is an awesome, almighty God. And we as a church, obviously I'm speaking in generalities, but we need to go back to our first love and understand that God is God. And that Jehovah is not one to treat lightly, as so many do today. You remember recently in a broadcast I shared about Isaiah. When he saw the Lord in Isaiah 6, it transformed his life. And remember in the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, when Ananias lied to Peter and both he and his wife dropped dead, he said, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" It said that there was a great fear upon the church. Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things, although great signs and wonders were performed. So, beloved, if we want the signs and wonders of the early church, I declare to you that we need to go back to the same kind of fear of God that they possessed. Well, there's more to share, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow at this same time. I love you. Thank the Lord for you, and if you're going through a time of testing, so many are. These have been some very difficult days for some very godly people. I pray that you will obey the Lord and write and share those needs, because there's power in agreement. Thank you for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass A. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.